So if you need to get caught up, if you need somebody that knows, needs to hear the word, because God's medicine, his word is medicine to all your flesh. Amen. There's a lot of prescriptions out there.
Amen.
And they don't have a particular name on it. They have your name on it. See, we don't fill in the name on the prescription on the word of God. You put your name on it. But a good doctor gives a prescription, and a good patient, got faith in that doctor, will take the medication. A lot of people wonder why things are not working. Well, did you do what God told you to do? Do you believe what he told you to do? So the title of this message has been and will be, Don't Let Jesus Pass You By. So let's pray over this. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word in due season to minister to me and minister to your people. That, Lord, we thank you for the anointing that's upon your word that brings health and medicine to our lives. Your word is medicine, Lord. It gives us health. It causes us to be blessed and prosperous in the earth, Lord. And when we spring forth with your love and joy and peace and comfort. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, have your way. I'm just open up myself to be used by you today, Lord, to be your vessel, to pour out into the lives, into the minds and hearts of your people today. Be glorified, Holy Spirit, manifest God's Jesus' presence in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen. So don't let Jesus pass you by. And I'm going to quickly just catch us up here where we've been, where we're going. The keynote scripture comes out of Mark 6:48. Said, and he saw, Jesus saw them toiling and rowing. They were struggling rowing this boat, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, that's about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came unto them walking on the sea. Now, you say water, but you think, this is the sea, buddy. This ain't just Lake Norman. Or up this way in Salisbury is what? Lake, help me. High Rock Lake. Well, this would have been a High Rock. Jesus there would be, that's a good name, the name of the Most High God was walking on High Rock Lake. Somebody ought to write a story about that. But this was the sea. And Jesus, here, underline this, he would have passed by. So when Jesus... This is what we talked about. When Jesus gives you a promise, remember, he had told the guys, get into the boat, go to the other side. I'm going to the mountain to pray. I'm going to take care of the crowd. I'm going to send them home. You're going to the other side. So when Jesus gives you a promise, you can count on Jesus making it good. Even if he leaves you, the promise is still good. He has left this earth, right? The promise is still here. I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. That's on Pentecost. The gift of the promise of the Father. Stay till you get the gift, till you get that promise. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, today would be a good time to be prayed for and receive that. Now, God's not going to make you receive it, but it is available. And Jesus said, don't leave till you have it. That's called the power. Amen. And it ain't just for, I got the power for you to say, I got the power. It's no, for you to go out here and tell the devil to get off of your stuff, get out of my body, get out of my life. That's what the power is for, to be able to know that's your enemy. The Holy Spirit is a witness. That's not God. Don't do that. Amen. He's there for a witness. And when you, like the song, like we were singing about, I want to be with God, worthy, praise, worship him. And I'm in his presence. And I know I'm in his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. Even in the midst of tribulation and trials, I can have joy and joy unspeakable and full of glory because Jesus is in my boat. And I don't care how much water's coming in, it's going to float. So when Jesus gives you a promise, you can count on it. And he forced the disciples to get into the boat. That's what that word constrained, compelled them to get into this boat. And it wasn't looking good. The weather wasn't looking good. Probably looking like today, worse. And so the disciples got into the boat against their better judgment. And Jesus, that made him responsible. And where did Jesus go? He went and spent some time with the Father. He was getting the rest of his instructions for the... What I want to bring into this, as I'm going back and reading and studying this week to give you more of the story, but something I missed. Amen. That if you go back and read, they had just been out. Jesus had taught them about faith. They had been out. They just fed 5, 10, 15,000 plus people. Jesus did a miracle with the disciples. Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Took them, looked up to heaven, and said, Father, we need more. We need more. And see, God, Jesus said, this is what we got, but he looked up and blessed it. See, blessing means you need more. The blessing means you have more. The blessing means you can do more. To help more people. Amen. There was more people that were hungry. And then Jesus said, now come up here, Peter, James, John, y'all disciples, come up here. And gave them a basket. And he broke that and put it in their baskets. And as they went, they fed the people out of their baskets. The disciples are going feeding all these people. Thousands of people. I need seconds. I'm hungry, Pastor. I need some more. Seconds, thirds. And when they got done, they had 12 baskets half full. What? Oh, that wasn't even what the Bible says? Oh, it says they had, it was what? Full. 12 baskets full. Jesus knew there's going to be another meeting again. Amen. But the disciples, they're out here sweating in the desert, guys. They are working, feeding these people. Okay, then now they're getting to the boat. We're going somewhere else. Jesus is trying to get his disciples into the boat so they can get some rest. They're tired, guys. They've been working. Jesus taught the word, and they feed the people, and they've been praying for people. Your body needs rest. So when they got into the boat, what does the devil want to do? Man, you've seen miracles of God happen. People get prayed for, get healed. You've been to a great revival, and I want to thank our visitor for coming, Miss Terry. She came from Charlotte, right, Terry? Welcome you here today. See, she came afar. Amen. The wise men came from afar. What were they looking for? They're looking for the Christ child. They're looking for a promise that had been spoken about. And they were not disappointed. Terry, you're not going to be disappointed. Why? Not because I'm here, because God's here. The Word's here. His people's here. That means come together again. It's here. Amen. The blessing's here. It's in you. When we come together, it gets amplified. It grows. Amen. There's miracles. There's healings. There's whatever you need is in Christ Jesus. They were tired. He's trying to get his disciples rest. And what happens? The devil hears a storm. See, it takes strength to row this boat. They don't have a Mercury or one of them good old motors, 5, 6, 10 horsepower, crank it up and boom, we go on to the other side. No, row this boat. They're tired, guys. Now the wind's blowing. And undoubtedly, they don't have a sail, because if they had a sailboat, the wind would have been good. But the devil's bringing opposition. He wants them tired. He don't want people. He's seeing people getting healed, delivered. He don't want that to happen. So they're tired. Jesus saw this. Man, they're tired. I'm trying to give them some rest, and there's the devil. When the devil's struggling. See, they were struggling against this. Amen. He don't want us. It's coming from the principality and power of the air. Hurricanes, tornadoes, devastation is not coming from God. It's not an act of God. If they want to put it right in the insurance policy, it's an act of the devil. Yes. If you'll make it right, say, God's good. So I got to back up Daddy. I'm backing up Daddy. Daddy, you good. Amen. And just because they say that, you don't have to believe it. They're tired. And as we get on down here, I want to read this. So verse 45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before them to the other side, to Bethesda, while he sent them. Jesus took care of the crowd. And when he had sent them away, Jesus departed to the mountain to pray. And when the evening had come, it was getting dark. He was in the middle. And when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus was alone on the land. He was alone on the land. He was alone. He was not being alone. He was waiting on his buddies. He's alone. Where are they at? Oh, devil's a messing somewhere. And he saw them struggling. He saw them. That ain't where they're supposed to be. Rowing, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch, it says they've been out there rowing for about how many hours now? Evening, 8 or 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, at least 6 hours struggling. God don't want you struggling 6 hours. And he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost. When you see, and you're out there and it's storming and it's cloudy and it's cold and it's dark, and you see something on the sea walking about 5'8", whoo, what in the world? You know, they said they cried out. I thought they cried out for Jesus. They're crying out for fear. Whoa, what is this? Because if you read, keep on reading, whoa, I mean, think about it. Put yourself, they were tired, man. They have been ministering for 2 days, feeding all these people. They're struggling for 6 or 8 hours. They can hardly see, sweat in their eyes, rain in their eyes. And then all of a sudden, a ghost appears, a spirit. They can't, wiping their eyes, they can't see what it is. They cried, man, whoa. Jesus would have passed by. They supposed it was a ghost and cried out. When you cry out and you don't know what it is, and if it's Jesus, he's going to answer you, fear not. And for they saw him and were troubled, but immediately, not, well, I'm going to see if they really, you know, I won't really get them scared. No, that ain't God. No. Immediately, he talked with them and said, be of good cheer. It's me. I am here. Fear is not your friend. Right. No kind of fear. Right. Now, the Bible said sudden fear. You know, if somebody stand around the corner and I walk out and then they jump out at me, you're going to have sudden fear. You're liable, somebody, be careful, you're liable to get hit. That's normal. You react to something you wasn't expecting. Yeah. But a spirit of fear is false evidence appearing real. Fear, false evidence appearing real. Amen. Amen. A spirit of fear, you're scared and you don't even know why you're scared. That's a spirit of fear that's how the devil works. It's when he gets you in the dark. And you can get not spirit of fear can hit you. You get a doctor's report. And how does that spirit of fear come upon you? Because you have not been with Jesus. You have not been seeing the miracle worker. See, he works miracles in our lives. The disciples saw that, knew that, but they were tired. They were in their soul, not their spirit person. See, they haven't been born again yet. So I'm not critical of the disciples. This is just an example for us. We've got the spirit on the inside of us now. Jesus doesn't have to appear in a vision, but if he does, thank God for it. We have another unction from the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Tri-God on the inside of us. Man, you can walk on water. You have that same power on the sea, if need be, not to tempt God, but to help God. So they were scared and they cried out. Jesus immediately said, fear not, it is I. Jesus knew where his friends were. He knows where you are in your situation. He cried out. Let me finish that. And then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. Ceased at the mention of it. See, he is the creator. And he hasn't even went to the cross yet. He hadn't been to the cross yet. But he is God. And he is Jesus of Nazareth, a flesh body anointed by God, anointed by the Holy Ghost. The wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed, greatly amazed. Come on, guys. They just did miracles through Jesus. Here, they should not be greatly amazed. They should be, wow, man, yeah. Awesome. See, greatly amazed is beyond measure and marveled. And marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves because their heart was hardened. They saw miracles, but they didn't really understand it, believe it. They just think coincidence. You know how our mind can think? And God said, forget not the Lord your God. Why did he say that? Because you can forget. Through a storm, through being tired, your emotions, and the job's not working out. I don't have a job. The bills are due. Strange stress is not your friend. I just went and saw my niece, Piper. We've been praying for her. She's 14 years old, and she's having seizures. And they put all these electrodes, and this has been going on for about 6 months now, 8 months. And I know my niece. I can imagine the bills, the doctors, all these things. Now, this is not being critical of my family. I'm saying this because you got to do what God says do. The Lord gave me some scriptures to give them and some CDs to give them and some books to give them because they're over in Maiden. Long ways, Harold. I'm encouraging them, find you a good church. Get underneath a good pastor. But here's some teaching. Here's what the Lord specifically gave you. Read this. Study this. Pray for her to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you got to believe it. You got to act upon it. You got to do that. And I've prayed with them since then. And I went and visited yesterday. And as I'm talking, as I said, Lord, see, a lot of times, guys, we don't need to pray. Jesus had to teach. He had to teach the word because it hadn't been taught. And I'm asking God before I get there, Lord, I need some answers. They're needing some answers. I'm praying, Lord, because you. And that was one of the questions her niece had, her aunt. We've been praying. And then I asked the question, I said to her mother and to Piper, those materials I gave you, have you read them? And first of all, I asked Piper, this is my niece. I said, what's something you like to do to a 14-year-old? I said, I know you like boys and having it, because I was a 14-year-old. I said, but what do you like to do? She says, I like to read. Read, okay. Have you read what I gave you about 3 or 4 months ago? No. So now I know why the Lord says you can't pray, because they haven't done, you know, they just saw miracles. Just work in their hands, they work miracles, but they forgot. They didn't understand. Jesus said, you're going to the other side. They had a word from Jesus that no matter what storm was against you, all they had to say was peace to the storm. And it would obey them because they had a word from God. They had a promise of God. Amen. But their heart, and I'm not being critical of anybody, because this is what this natural, what you see, taste, hear, smell, or touch, your five senses cannot understand God. Even when you're born again, you have to take and you have to renew your mind to your spirit. Don't let Jesus pass you by. He's right there. Cry out. Why, Lord? Remember, there was one young man, the disciples tried to get his son delivered from, and it was an epileptic seizure. It was a demonic attack. With throw him in the fire, throw him in the water. And Jesus came down off the mountain, just had Peter, James, and John, sons of thunders, they nicknamed, up on the mountain. They come down, saw the glory of Jesus, glory of God. And then they come down there, and that one disciples, and that one guy came to Jesus and said, your disciples cannot help my son, but if you can do anything. And Jesus said, whoa, whoa, if you can believe, all things are possible to those that believe. And be honest with God. He said, well, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He was telling him, I got belief, but I got unbelief. But we got to believe, and we got to put the name of Jesus on it. Find you a promise. Get it in your heart. You just can't take it from the pastor. That's a good source. But you got to make it your promise. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. And you got to say, you got to cry out. I'm not letting Jesus pass me by. He's with me. Amen. And that's what the disciples were dealing with. See, Jesus told his disciples, get into that storm. He knew it was a storm. And when God's called you to do something, he's responsible for it. He'll make it happen. So if things ain't happening, has God told you to do that specifically? Because it shouldn't be a struggle. And I'm not saying you're not going to have opposition, but you've got to resist the devil with the word of God to get through that opposition. But it shouldn't be years upon years upon years upon years. And you just don't do nothing while you're waiting. Waiting means serve. You know, when God gives you something, now there is times he'll give you a vision and it'll be a time before it comes to pass. But in that time, you need to be doing something, because faith without works is dead faith. Do something along the way. So there's no doubt that Jesus was coming out there to help his disciples. No doubt. There's no doubt in Jesus. He had no doubt at all. God told him to do something, there was no doubt about it. Yet he made it though he would pass by them. This illustrates how that the Lord comes to us. He is always there in the midst of our problems. But he doesn't just take control. Because it goes all the way back to the garden. He gave authority over to Adam and Eve. He said, now you, don't eat of this tree. Because he knew the thief was going to try to get them to eat of that tree. Regardless of how desperate our situations are, and that was what was asked me at the hospital. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. You're desperate. Okay. What is the will of the Lord on this? What is the will of the Lord? Where is your promise? And I gave her some personal scriptures. I got her phone number. And I said, now, I'm an old man. I'm older than you. I'm 53 and she's 14. I said, but can an old man text you some scriptures? I said, as the Lord gives me something, because we're praying and they're seeking answers, and he gives me something, I'm going to text it to you. Now, you're in the boat. There's the promise. Now, what are you going to do? You going to toil, or are you going to stand up and say, no, I'm going to the other side now. You know, I'm through these seizures. When these attacks are getting ready to come, now you stand up, you get the name of Jesus on it, get you a promise of God. She loves to read, get the word, and then you'll have a rhema word. I expounded on logos and rhema. You keep putting the written word in, there'll be a rhema. You keep putting God's written word in, there's going to be a rhema. Amen. So he waits for us to call out to him for help. God doesn't force his help on us, and he always is on top. Jesus walking on the water. He's always on top of the very situation that's about to drown us. He's never early. He's never late. He's right on time. In other words, he's there. It's no problem for the Lord. Andrew Womack's famous for that. When he prayed for people that come up with cancer, diabetes, crippling arthritis, no problem. And when he prays, it's not a long prayer. I'm talking about when he prays with somebody in faith. It don't have to take long. Now, it might take long if that person's not in faith. That's when you got to, Jesus said he had to step back and he had to teach. He had to go around and teach why there's unbelief. How do you counter unbelief? With belief. Do you believe I'm able to do this? He would say to people, do you believe? And if they said no, then he wouldn't forget about them. He'd have to teach them. He'd have a teaching. Well, if you want to be taught, you got to get underneath the teacher. Amen. So in other words, that's why people were coming to Jesus and they were listening to his teaching. The Holy Spirit confirms his word. Jesus confirms his word. God confirms the word with signs, confirms the word preached with signs and signs following. Amen. Signs follow the word. What's your sign? What do you need? Amen. What do you need? Thank you, Lord. So Jesus, he's always on top of the problem. It's not a problem for him. It's not a problem for God. We have to be looking for the Lord or he'll pass by. It's not that he hasn't forgot about us. It's just he's answering all kind of cries. And God, through the Holy Spirit, man, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So you don't have to wait, but you do have to cry out in faith, because faith is the key that unlocks the door of heaven. Amen. The door of heaven. You know, Cecil and Cindy, glad to have you guys back. Y'all went on a trip, and weather wasn't too good down there, man. They were trying to walk. The road was trying to be washed out. But I know there's faith on the inside of you guys. He was out fishing. Amen. And see, you could, if you had a spirit of fear, we're on this island. That's our way out. Man, you could get in fear. And that fear will make you do all, it definitely wouldn't make you have a good vacation. And fear likes company. It likes to get somebody else in fear. And then you got two people in fear. That's agreement. That's a principle that what you're agreeing on, if it's fear, can come to pass. You can give the devil opportunity to bring it to pass, right? See, these are spiritual laws, and people want to know, why are things happening? Yeah, things happen for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And that's why we've got to find out what's the reason. Why is it happening? Bad things happen for a reason, and good things happen for a reason. You got to have ears to hear, and not everybody's got hearing ears. That's a problem. Not everybody's being, the word's being taught correctly. Amen. You got to judge this word with the Spirit. So out of that, why did Jesus wait so long to help out? I mean, that was a long time they were in that boat. Why did he wait so long? They left the shore of the Sea of Galilee in about sundown. Jesus didn't come to them until the fourth watch, or between 3 or 6 a.m. in the morning. So it's only a 2-hour trip from here to Myrtle Beach. Amen. That's a 2-hour trip across the lake. That's a pretty good little trip, 2 hours. That's long enough, man. Think about rowing a boat that long. It's only a 2-hour trip across the Sea of Galilee, so it's easy to see. Of course, you got a 12-horsepower engine. If everybody's got an oar, you got 12 disciples in there. So, and you multiply that times 2, you got 24 oars. And I don't know if that was the boat. I'm just saying, if you got, multiply it, right? You got 12 times 2 is 24. So you got 24 oars. You know, you 4-horsepower. We're not horses, though, so maybe not quite that much. But if everybody's rowing in tune, you know, you're going to get there pretty quick, 2 hours, unless you got wind and waves. I mean, you get knocked around. Everybody's out of rhythm. And the Bible says, "Where if you're in unity, you have strength." Amen. So the devil knows that. He knows that. So why is it taking so long here? This wasn't the first time Jesus had saved them from a storm. This wasn't the first time they'd been on a storm with Jesus. Remember, one time he was asleep in the was it the front or the back? Reed, was it the rear? Don't matter. Jesus was there. Whether he's in the front or the back, as long as he's there, man, this guy, he's doing miracles out here. If you got Jesus in the boat, you're all right. And he was asleep, and the storm was gone. So they've seen how he reacts to storms. So you got to think, you know, a good teacher wants to see you operate in what's been taught. So he's looking at faith. He's not going to let them die. Amen. And God is there to help us. He's done everything for us. He's provided everything for us. Adam and Eve had no opposition in the garden except for the tempter that would come to tempt them. They didn't have to toil for this food, fruits, tree. Everything was barren. Fruit. Now, God gave them something to do, but all these trees were producing. They wasn't out looking for a job. They had everything they needed. They wasn't struggling. Everything's been provided, and God hasn't changed. Life was never intended for us to be a struggle. It only became a struggle when the devil got involved. And what did the tempter do? Has God said you're going to die of cancer? Has God said that you're going to not live out and fulfill your days? No, he didn't. But you got to know that's what God said. And Jesus said, get in the boat, you're going to the other side. I'll meet you on the other side. That's a promise. So he's looking for some faith between 12 people. Jesus is thinking, surely somebody's going to stand up in the boat and give me some faith. You know, Jesus said, that's a good one. Jesus said, that would have been enough, I believe, right there to calm a storm. Jesus said, fear loves, misery loves company. Man, Jesus, he ain't in the boat, man. He's on dry land. We out here, and man, it's raining and it's pouring. Where Jesus at? You know, complaining. What happened in the Old Testament in the wilderness? Snakes started biting people because they were complaining. God said he's going to feed us out here in the wilderness. You know, God didn't. See, that's just typical behavior of unbelief. Of unbelief. And we got to watch, guys, because that's the devil's number one enemy, has God said. And he'll send you people in your family that love God but are wrong. Has God said? Has the doctor said? Well, you know, the doctor said, you know, you're going to get things in order. Were you ready? Like Terry, I know John Gerla, he was ready, but he was still a man of faith. He was still fighting. And every time I talked to him, he had a spirit of faith. I heard no bitterness, no complaining. And even though he was taking chemo and suffering, he said, just agree with me. He gave me the word, and I agreed. So he's singing. He's rejoicing in heaven. But he didn't get to finish his course. And you know what? We need to help him finish that course. Go out here and teach people. He loved apologetics. He loves when somebody was saying, you know, why this? Well, he'd give them a reason. He loved to apologetics is what they say and what the word says. And he had a vision, great things he was going to do. So that's when, you know, Brother Kenneth Hagin, the vision he had to go teach my people faith, that was passed on to me through the Spirit of God. I never met him, never got to see him physically teach the word, but when I listened to him, that same spirit is on the inside of me. Specifically to go teach people faith. So that's my vision. That's where we're going. Amen. So you're going to hear teaching in this church about faith. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And you're my disciples. We're going to teach you the word. And as you go out, the devil's out there. He's coming for the word. He's trying to get that word out of you. You say, uh-uh. No way. No way, Jose. That's a restaurant, by the way, too. No way, Jose. Mexican restaurant. I speak a little bit of Spanish. No way, Jose. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco. Is that it? Is that five? That's about as far as I go with Spanish. So, Lord, we need some Spanish people to come to this church. We need I need an interpreter, somebody that speaks Spanish fluently. Is there anybody in the crowd out here yet? Look at there, Terry. Praise the Lord. That might be a word from God. Just a no way, Jose, could let you know if so fluently you speak Spanish. Praise God. Look at it. If God calls you here, you have a purpose at this church. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of Hispanics in our neighborhood. Lisa would attest because she goes through this neighborhood on Friday night movie night. She's gone asking people to come. Free popcorn, free movie. And we've had some Hispanic kids come, but they speak English. So praise God. If that's the word, it'll bear witness with you, right? See, the pastor don't have to. It bears witness with your spirit. So God wants everybody. He loves. God doesn't see nationalities. He sees his family. Some of the family are lost, and some of them saved. But he still loves the family. Amen. See, not everybody out here is in the family, and they're opposition to us. The devil's using them ignorantly, some willingly. Right. And the ones that willingly come in here, we got to know. Because the devil likes to plant people in churches. And I'm not saying it just here. I'm saying it in the Bible. You got to think about the enemy. He's strategic in what he does. And he'll send people in. He can send people in. That's how, we got the Holy Ghost. And that's why to keep unity, we got to keep the Holy Spirit. You know, if something, that's where I'm transparent. If something I say up here is wrong, I got leaders to correct me. You know, because when you get excited sometimes, I'll say something. I might misquote a scripture, but listen to the spirit of it. But if there's error, you come and you let me know. We communicate. Amen. So any transparency. Amen. That's what it's got to be. Love one another. Jesus loved Peter, said, you have heard from heaven. flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father. And then turn around and rebuke him and say, get behind me, Satan. In the same breath. Jesus loved Peter, but what Peter said, that wasn't from God. And Jesus had to correct him, let him know. That was a teachable moment, guys. So, we're going to flow in the gifts of the Spirit here. Say amen. Amen. But when prophecies come, what does the Bible say to do next? Judge the prophecy. So, and I want you to freely, we want to freely, as the Spirit leads you and you feel a word to prophesy, is just prophesy what God's saying. Good things. It's going to edify, encourage, and build up. That's what prophecy does. If it doesn't, then don't feel bad. See, your feelings can get hurt. And offense is the devil wants you to get offended and leave the church. And you got the gifts, but he don't want them operating. So when it stands up, we judge it. If it was a good, if it's a good prophecy, nobody's really going to judge it unless they're going to say, that was right on. But if it's error, we have to judge that by two, by three. We got to keep everybody, we got to keep the spirit of unity here. Amen. God's spirit. Because you can say something, it can be a word. I've done this, guy. I've heard this. You can give a word, but it won't be three or four paragraphs. Prophecy. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues with men of angels, but I would in the church that I would prophesy. See, 10,000 tongues, all tongues, but then you'll have it'll be something specific. Now, I'm not saying it won't, sometimes it can be, but and it should be by two, by three. We'll get into the gifts. We'll teach. We'll be teachable times. We'll teach on the gifts of the Spirit. But we want to operate. We want to flow. Because, see, that's when it brings everybody into the picture. See, it ain't just the pastor. I'm here just to keep order. Feed you and keep order. Man, y'all get hungry and some of you over here, full of something and you want to share it, put a hand up. God's given you a word. As they come in, man, we all want to benefit from what God's saying and doing. You could have a word for somebody after the service. Amen. Yes. All right. And I'm learning. We're learning. We're going to grow together. Put some things in order. I got to bring this down to a close here. We got to come in. I see the airport. We're circling. So why did Jesus wait so long to help out? It wasn't the first time he'd saved them from this situation. And it won't be the last. It wouldn't be the last. I'm going to say this. I think we're going to close right here today. Remember, part one and two is out in the vestibule. And we'll have this one shortly afterwards. Yeah, I'm going to finish this point right here. Mark 4, 35 through 41. Mark Chapter 4, 35 through 41. Thank you, Jesus. The same day when evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. This wasn't the first time Jesus had helped him in this situation. He took them, even as he was in the ship, and there was also with them other little ships. The ministry's growing. Amen. Good things happening. It grows. Amen. We don't grow the church. God builds the church. Yes. Amen. Amen. The devil fought me for that since I've been here. How are you going to grow the church? How are you going to grow the church? How are you going to grow the church? Preach the word. I'm going to preach the word, teach the word. Because God's going to give the increase. See that? And the devil, he's not messing with that too much anymore. And the church is growing. As the Lord. See, not everybody's called to this church, but everybody's called to a church. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're just waiting on our church. The people come to this church. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took even him as in his ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship. So it was now full of water. And he was in the hinder part. If my wife would back here, it'd be snoring. Does Jesus snore? I don't know. If it was, they probably couldn't hear him because the wind was boisterous. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Probably a wet pillow. And they awoke him. Do not wake a sleeping baby. I learned that on my first child. Do not wake a sleeping baby. That's a good time. And when you're sleeping, they need that sleep. You wake a sleeping baby, they're hungry. That means you got to have something ready to eat. I always have something ready to go, bottle warmed up before they wake up. Because daddy likes to sleep too. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked Peter. Didn't answer that question, did he? Do you not care that we perish? And he rose and he rebuked the wind. I'm glad I wasn't the wind. And he said unto the sea, can the sea hear? Jesus spoke to the sea. So sea, the sea has ears to hear. Fevers have ears to hear. Cancer has ears to hear the word of God. And he said unto the sea, peace, shalom, peace. The Prince of Peace is speaking. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? What does fearful mean? Turn it around. Why are you so full of fear? Why ain't you sleeping on a pillow like me? Well, I guess some of them had to row the boat. But why don't you row the boat in faith, not in fear? Amen. Well, why don't you get up and... He's an example. Why are you so fearful? Why is he saying this? I've taught the word about have faith in God. He's been teaching faith. Where is your faith? Why are you letting fear invade your faith? Because fear is the opposite of faith. It's the enemy of faith. It wants to harden your heart. How is it that you have no faith? Uh-oh, they didn't have none. Not a zilch. Inspector Jesus has showed up. Woke him up. I tell you what, you wake him up and he was sleeping good. He's going to tell you right quick, where is your faith? And they feared exceedingly. Where's your faith? And they feared. They're doing the exact opposite. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I tell you what manner of man. Come on Wednesday night. He's a God man. That's what we learned about. He's a God man. So are you. Amen. You are a God man. And man is not just male man. Is female man. Woman. It's mankind. Amen. That's how we started. That's how we're going to end up. That's who we are now. We are God man. We are woman man.